Rave Radio. Welcome everybody to another fun-filled episode of AV Insider. Again, as always, I am your host, Johnny Moda. I say things, talk about technology, usually audio, video, automation, you know, all that fun stuff you get phone calls about when you're sleeping. Today I'm talking with Paul Williams. He's the Vice President in Security of Communication Products over at Control 4, rather large company. You probably have heard of him, is my guess. Before I bring them, I always like to thank my sponsors. First of all, we have Ingram Micro. They are the world's largest technology distributor of delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you go over to ingrammicro.com, you can check out all the solutions that you may or may not already be using, but if you check them out, you can confirm or deny any of the things that I've just said. For the rest of us, if you're like me, Resi guy, most likely. You're putting amps, racks, speakers, microphones, a little of the interconnects here and there, all that fun stuff that I can guarantee you're going to get a phone call about this 4th of July. Go check out my friends, Atlas Sound, atlassound.com. Check them out. As I mentioned, I have Paul Williams. Paul, thank you for being on the show today.
Happy to be here, Johnny.
Yeah, thanks. What I want to talk about is Control 4. I want to talk about home automation. I want to talk about the company in general, and then maybe we'll just progress to like all that fun stuff that people ask on odd requests. I want to control everything, and with automation, that's kind of the point. So maybe can you give me a little bit of background on Control 4?
Absolutely. So Control 4 has been around since 2003. We started with the ambition of taking home automation to a broader audience and to a broader demographic. At the time when we created the company, really, home automation had been around for quite a while, but unfortunately was only available to a very select few.
Right.
We talk about the 1% of the population that are wealthy. Well, the service, the people who were getting serviced by home automation, really the 1% of the 1%. You had to be ultra wealthy. The products were incredibly expensive. They were hard to install, which thus translated into more cost on installation. And so, for the most part, home automation was only serving these very, very select few people. And we saw this need at the time for more people to want and that were needing and wanting this connectivity, and really seeing the future of this connected home. And it's been in just the last few years where we've truly realized that. Throughout, I think, the world, we're seeing this idea of the connected home with the coming of the Internet of Things and some of these other technologies.
Yeah, and then so thus was created Control 4, a much more cost-friendly solution, I would say, right?
Yeah,
that's the goal there?
Yeah, we would say we're a value solution. We bring all of the benefit that you would get out of more expensive solutions, but in a more cost-effective way. And, you know, it's something we've really strived on. As you mentioned, we're a fairly large company. We've continued to grow over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, just this last year in August, we were listed and went public on the NASDAQ under the ticker CTRL. So if you want to find out all of our financial information, it's all out there. And what was really interesting is that during the years where, you know, it was really tough, where the housing market had crashed and we were in this recession, you know, in that 2008, 2009, where companies were saying flat is the new up, was the continued up for us. We've had steady growth year over year since our existence. And so we've been very fortunate to be able to have that happen to us. So it's been great.
Flat is the new up and orange is the new black. It's all there.
All there. One of those two things.
Exactly. Well, I mean, recently... I know, like, Control 4 in terms of things is more on the Resi side. Is that accurate to say, or is that not a limitation?
That's a good question. So that comes up quite a bit. So certainly the bulk of our business is done in the residential world in both retrofit and new construction.
Okay.
But we certainly do a significant amount of business in what we kind of classify as light commercial. And light commercial to us is professional office space, like doctor's office and dentist office and lawyer's offices. But it's also sports bars and restaurants. We have a lot of those that are out there in the world that are running with Control 4 and boardroom automation. We do a lot of that as well. And then beyond that, we're also in hotels, and we're in, I believe the latest counts, 28 hotels worldwide today, including one of the largest hotels in the world, which is the Aria Hotel in Las Vegas. All 4,004 rooms, if you go stay there, with even the off-the-shelf room that you go to, entry-level room, is all has control four. And the guest is greeted with this amazing experience. If you go to tripadvisor.com, you'll look out there on Aria, you'll notice that this feature and the system itself gets written up all the time. A guest goes, they scan they bring their card. Instead of putting it through a card slot, it's an RFID tag. They wave it in front of the door. The door opens up. When the door opens up, the blinds open, welcoming them to the room. The lights come up slowly. The television turns on. It starts playing music, has their name on the top of it. And so we really control this entire guest experience. And that's something we see. We've got hotels all over the world, in London, in Turkey, in China, that are all running Control 4 right now.
I want to stop you right there. Good point on the hotel thing. Something early on when I started automation, I thought to myself, I'm like, I need to get into the hotel market and really push affordable automation that really, when you think about automation, I did this blog post years back, and it was about whether home automation was a luxury or a convenience. And you think about it, it's kind of both. And it really depends on the application. However, in a hotel, you're not going to stay, you know, like you're not going to visit someplace and you're not going to try and stay in kind of like a dump if you can avoid it. You'd like to try and stay in a kind of a luxurious place. You know, you're trying to get away. You're on vacation, typically. Not always. But while you're there, you might as well enjoy the room that you're staying in. And now if you stay in a room that has, you know, these luxuries, if you will, of controls and things like that, it's going to be a very memorable place. You're probably going to want to stay there more or come back and visit more often than just somebody, okay, we had, you know, a remote or whatever, and then didn't really spend much time there. Not that you're going on vacation to stay in a hotel just for the hotel, but automation, I think, fits in the scale of it's not just one place, there's multiple rooms, and when we're talking about automation, that's really, I mean, it's usually not, you know, in terms of one room, it's going to be, I mean, it could be easily, but multiple rooms, and in a hotel has, you know, like it's just all these different rooms that you could be controlling. And you said it really well. You scan your card, maybe the lights turn on to a certain intensity, a TV turns on, shades, multiple things happen. It just seems like the most ideal place I could have ever thought of. And now it seems to be more and more common that you're seeing, that application, and so that you are in so many hotels is I love to hear that. That's great.
Yeah, it's been a good experience, and as you mentioned, it's one of those things that people's view on things has changed significantly. I think there was a time where people went to a hotel and you expected that you were getting a hotel experience. Well, as you talk to hoteliers today, the expectation is that and that in the form of entertainment and the electronics that exist in that hotel room. Well, as you talk to hoteliers today, people expect that they're getting a similar experience from a technology perspective that they have in their own homes. And that's why you've seen this move to larger screen televisions and, you know, video on demand that you're seeing in those rooms as well. And automation, quite honestly. And so we're seeing that as a trend for sure.
Definitely. I'm not fully up to date on all the solutions and products that Control 4 offers. So I'm going to ask, you know, simple questions. I'm like, oh, do you guys have handheld remotes and in-wall touch panels and things like that? Do you work with, you know, iPads, iPhones, smartphones, tablets, the general things? Can you kind of give me the basic run-of-the-mill of, like, these are our control options. This is probably where we might end up going. And if you can share the information, maybe allude to, like, what I would ask is, you know, do you ever see voice control and motion and thing like that stuff?
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely. It'd probably be best if I start just kind of describing the category in general. And so, sure. smart home and home automation, those terms, you know, elicit different thoughts from different people. Mm-hmm. A lot of us were raised in front of the television on Saturday mornings eating cereal, watching the Jetsons, and what we viewed as home automation was going to be Rosie the robot, like running around, cleaning up and doing the dishes and everything. That would have been great. But really what home automation is and smart home technology, it's making all these technologies that people are bringing into their home, make them work easily and simply for those homeowners. We're very much in, there's an app for that world, really driven by the Internet of Things. And I can go out in the world and buy a thermostat that has an app that allow it to be controlled. I can buy some lighting devices that allow it to be controlled with an app. I can buy a sprinkler control device that allows me to control it with an app. I can do that same thing with my television and with my sat box. And what I'm left with are 10 or 15 apps now that it takes to run my home. And I've got to launch this, to launch that, to touch this. And that doesn't make any sense to us. What makes sense is we've developed a solution that allows all of those technologies and those Internet of Things devices to be able to work in a seamless way using an intuitive interface. And that interface is available on the on-screen using a remote control to navigate it. So if I had it on a 120-inch projection screen, I can have the biggest home automation control panel in the world. I can do that. Certainly, we also have dedicated touch panels that we sell, and those are in-wall and portable. And then what we're seeing the growth in, as far as control, is on mobile devices, as you would expect. Right. And we have support for iOS devices and Android devices of all ways, shapes, forms, sizes. And this allows you to control that home. And here's the cool part, not only within the home and all of the systems within the home, but from anywhere in the world over a 3G, 4G connection, which is pretty amazing.
That's awesome. You mentioned iOS and Android apps. What about BlackBerry? When am I getting my BlackBerry app?
You know, there are a few of those. I still see those on time to time. I still see people using BlackBerry. Not going to be a BlackBerry app coming from us anytime soon.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm or deny that, yes, that's coming, or maybe we're just going back in a time machine and everyone's going back to BlackBerries.
If we went back 15 years when they had a chance of owning the market, yeah, I think we would have.
Yeah, I gotcha. Now, okay, so... I want to talk about, like, yes, you can control these things, and yes, you can do that. And we, like I said, if you wanted a 152-inch, you know, on-screen control unit, you could do that. What? I'm not super up to par. Everything Control 4, and I should be, because I have a show that talks about things like that. So bad on me. But we're here to learn. So what I hear from a lot of my Control 4 dealer friends. Is that you can control a very popular distributed audio system called Sonos. Maybe you guys have heard of it. And not only can you control it, you're getting two-way feedback. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, so we're getting information to and from the Sonos receiver. It's through a third-party driver. One of our third-party developer companies named Extra Vegetables. They do a lot of development work in the industry, not only for us but for others as well. Mm-hmm. And they've got a driver and solution that works out really well. And we've seen that solution in a lot of homes. Quite honestly, it's a great music solution. We see it used quite a bit.
Just a quick note on Extra Vegetables. To my knowledge, aside from the drivers and stuff that they make, they do ratings for movies and such. Correct.
Yeah, they're doing some interesting things on their side, and somewhat into content as well, and they continue to kind of push the boundaries. What they do is they very nicely fill in the gaps that there's some things that we would work on that wouldn't get prioritized high enough in our organization and to make a roadmap plan that they are able to focus in on. And dealers come to them with problems and issues, and they solve them. They come out with great ways to be able to take care of the issues for dealers and for customers, quite honestly.
So let's say I'm doing a Control 4 project, and I have some brand X new product, hi-fi, high-res audio player who I'm talking to right now, and they're out of France. Supposed to be speaking them tonight. There's no control module for them yet. There's no driver. There's no communication to this thing yet because it's so new. It's still being built. It's probably built on Raspberry Pi or whatever. Would I be able to contact, let's say, you or someone at Control 4, and then maybe you guys would say, hey, we're getting a really high demand for this Brand X media server? Yeah. What can we do? Can we maybe write a driver or some sort of something to communicate with this thing seamlessly?
Yeah, you bet. And there's several different options or ways that occurs today. So we have a great tool called Driver Editor. Oh. And that allows our dealers, our authorized dealers, to go in and create drivers for products that, especially if they're low volume products and maybe something that not the entire market sees. And that really helps since we're a worldwide company.
Yeah.
we service, you know, 85 plus countries today. It really helps because there's devices that we're just physically never going to touch ourselves. And so dealers are able to take this tool and create drivers for them. At the same time, our dealers will then come in to, with correct request to us, go, look, I'm installing this audio device every single installation. And, you know, that to us is something we pay attention to. And either we'll take two different paths. One, we'll decide that we're going to develop that driver internally and put it into a roadmap and create that driver experience. Or two, talk to one of our developers. Extra Vegetables would certainly be one of those. And to say, hey, you guys, we're getting a lot of requests for this, and they like that feedback because we're able to collect that and be able to push that along. And so it may be created by them, might be created by us, might be created by the dealer. And we have kind of a flexible model that allows for all three of those things to happen.
Would you be able to talk, let's say, let's say you guys did it internally, or, you know, third party it out to Extra Vegetables or somebody. Is there like a standard lead time where, this is a really dumb question, but lead time in like driver building? Because I know everything is different. It takes time to code and, you know, I can't just be like, here's what I need, get it done yesterday, because that's what everybody wants, and that doesn't exist in the real world. But, you know, like if I'm looking to do this, you know, like I said, we're doing it every application. Can I expect, you know, maybe hear back from you guys in a month or something, or a few months?
Yeah. So the good news is we'll give feedback to the dealers really quickly on what we think, as far as yes, this is going to be a priority. It's not going to be a priority. We'll talk to Extra Vegetables. We'll talk to another developer about it. As far as the time frame, it really varies.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had projects we can get done in a couple of days. If it comes in and it's a high enough priority, we can get it turned around and have drivers done in a couple of days. If it's lower on the priority, it could take several months. Who knows? It's variable based on demand,
mm-hmm.
and based on our ability to fit it in with all of the other projects that we're doing. We're always in a constant state of development on the next new things and the things that we're working on for the future.
I imagine that Sonos driver was like super high demand when it first came out. Need this yesterday.
Yeah, it's super high demand and continues to be high demand. They've really done a great job of getting acceptance within the custom installation group. And so mm-hmm. a lot of dealers are carrying the product and it works for them. And they like it, and consumers really like it. And so, you know, we agree it's a good experience. And actually, it touches on a point that's interesting that I think makes Control 4 unique. And that is that we have our own audio system and music control system that we offer. We have a wireless music bridge, allows you to take music that's on your phone and or on your mobile device and stream it. We also have, you know, digital audio capabilities within our own product solution and streaming throughout the home. But then we have the support for these third-party products. We also have our own lighting solution, soup to nuts, dimmers, switches, keypads that we offer. But then we also offer integration with the typical names you would expect, with Lutron and Vantage and,
sure.
and Light Touch. And it's really that embraces this concept that we have about this ecosystem. What our play is really, we really want to be that operating system for that connected home. And that kind of fits very nicely into that. Sorry, I had to take us off into little weeds there, but wanted to...
No, that's a good point. I mean, like, as a company, yes, I think I would want to, like, well, why use their lighting system, or why use, you know, their audio system, you know, buy everything from us. That makes sense. I want to sell my product, you know, just use us, I get it. But at the same time, I don't think that you would want to, you know, push people away, you know, saying, oh no, we don't do that, we don't work with them. I'm like, when I know, I'm like, well, I could write a driver and do it. Why couldn't you an automation system? So being open to that and allowing your dealers to do something like that is very very key, because you're an automation system. Sure, okay, yeah, you can use their lighting system or you can use their audio system, and we can be like the top hat, if you will, on top of the entire system that controls all these subsystems. Or like you said, you know, I could buy this connected thermostat with an app and apps on apps on apps on apps. But at the end of the day, you are the controller versus multiple apps where you have to open, close, and kind of dig in and out of, yes, you have one mobile remote, but it's still very cluttered and it takes more time when you can just have that one controller that does everything and be done with it.
Yeah, very, very good point. And that's exactly what we believe as well.
Let's talk a little bit about, I want to talk a little about the lighting. I mean, in terms of processors, do you have different processors that like would just only handle lighting or only handle audio and controls, or something that's just good for kind of everything?
So we have controllers, and controllers are, you could think of as the brain of the system, and they're the communication or hub device. And we have two different versions of that, and they will handle all of the above. They'll handle wireless communication over Zigbee. They can be used in a Wi-Fi environment, wired environment, Ethernet, and then also are able to control IR devices, IR control devices, serial control devices, and of course IP control devices, all from those same boxes. And so rather than having a lighting controller and a music controller and a security controller, we have just a single point solutions for these controllers in two different versions. There's really, we have what we call a room controller, and we have a home controller.
Mm.
And the room controller is even though its name sounds, it only does one room. You can do a four room system, or you know, a five room system with that, and with other controllers connected to it that would be secondary and tertiary controllers to that main controller. But then we have our home controller, and it just has more processing power, more capability, and more inputs and outputs for IR control and for serial control. But we offer those two varieties because what we didn't want to do is have to have dealers be thinking about, oh, I'm only doing lighting on this. And what we really want is a scalable solution, because
sure,
what we've seen is that the customer gets really fixated on one thing. They first went into this with the thought that all I want to do is automate my home theater or my cinema in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all they want to do. But then the dealer put in a few lights, and so when they press play, not only does the movie start, but the lights dim. And when they press pause, they dim up. And they go, oh, that's kind of cool. What if I wanted to put lighting in the rest of the house? Or what if I want to do distributed audio?
Too bad. Yeah.
What we want to have is this forklift upgrade that would need to happen at that point in time. And what they can do right now is that, you know, they can add on to that system in perpetuity, really, throughout time, to be able to add those other things on without having to burden the cost of adding additional controller or continue to replace those controllers. So
right,
it's worked out really well.
Without nice. Having to lock them out and be like, oh, well, we talked about that, but you said you really only wanted this, but then I gave you a taste of this other little portion of what home automation is capable of, and your eyes got huge, and now you're kind of locked into...
Yeah, this is what you bought. There's nothing more I can do for you. We certainly didn't want to have that. So.
Yeah, and that always leaves a sour taste in the homeowner's mouth. Well, I paid, you know, X amount in this, and I'm like, we talked about it. And well, so on Control Forefront, that's great. That's super forward thinking and not locking them out. Like, because you know, once you give them, you know, taste of other capabilities, they're going to be like, okay, I want to do this here, and I want to do this here, and just expand and not have to, you know, get rid of that old processor and upgrade to a newer processor or because it's just more money and time, and if it's already, the capabilities are built in, maybe it's a little more programming, a little more IOs, and it looks like you have IO extenders when they get to a larger scale of things. You also have, which is really cool, I saw, I think maybe a few years ago back at Cedia when I was coming back, you've partnered up, if you will, a little bit, Sony. You have
yep.
some Sony AVRs that that fully... embedded a Control 4 controller, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So we had Sony had put our controller, basically built our operating system into their line of receivers, and they had really two receiver models that had that built inside of. Sony just recently announced that they're backing away from that. So that's but that's something we've
Ooh.
Had out in the market for the last kind of 2 years, and certainly have had dealers use them, and they work well. As they're great AVRs and also have the capability of the Control 4 system built in as the operating system. They work well. So it's been a good experience with them. They've decided they've changed focus a little bit
mm-hmm.
as an organization of what they're heading. I don't want to make statements for them, of course, but
I will. It's okay. it's okay. I've had them on the show. They're good people. Unfortunately,
yeah,
it sounds like they're kind of parting ways with you. Does that mean that we might be able to expect other manufacturers to possibly have a similar product or partner or something of the sorts?
You know, not anything that I could say that's in the horizon or that I would announce today. You know, we're always looking at this environment and looking at the way that technology enters the home and what that means to the homeowner and from their perspective in ways to simplify. And if you think about it, it made a lot of sense, is because I know I need to have a receiver in the home.
Sure.
I need to have one. I also know I need to have a controller, and rather than having to buy two devices, I buy a single device, and we think that makes good sense. You know, whether that we see other products coming in the future, I can't announce or anything or talk about anything that about that today. But certainly, I mean, we think that this we're going to see automation as a category continue to expand and grow. And the connected home isn't going to get any less connected. Let's just say that it's getting more connected every day. In fact, it's amazing as we look at some of these press releases on some of these devices that you would never expect have apps for them or are connected to the internet. And it's things like, you know, juice blenders and
sure, toasters and
couldn't even imagine, right?
Right.
And who knows where it's going to go, really? But we're paying attention. We keep watching it.
Right. Can I expect to see a Control 4 AVR with the built-in controller? Blink once for yes. Blink twice for two. Did you blink once or twice? I didn't catch that.
Did you see my blinking?
Yeah, it's a good thing this audio podcast is from audio. The future.
Yeah.
So no, it's definitely not going anywhere. I mean, just the idea alone of Control 4 being a solution for, you know, the 1% of the 1% people in the world who can afford automation is just the answer to, well, no, it's not going anywhere. If anything, it's becoming more affordable and not widely accepted, but like common, more common in homes and just in terms of automation. It's something that you hear more and more about, and it definitely is more affordable. So in a few years, you know, TVs aren't necessarily going to get less expensive, but just the idea and what's out there, Control 4, I think, is one of the very beginning steps of, you know, it doesn't have to be for the richest of the rich. I mean, there's definitely a solution for everybody, and whether that's a single room solution or a full scale, you know, 40,000 square foot home or larger or whatever, it's possible. But it's just becoming more affordable and, I guess, accessible to the people that didn't think that was a possibility for their homes.
Yeah, and I think that to expand on that, we certainly see that today, and we have a growing number of customers that we would consider in kind of that middle class. That are adding automation into their home, and then we span. You know, you mentioned 40,000 square foot homes. We're in a few of those today.
I've heard about some
very 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 large homes in the world today. But just to talk a little bit about that, this technology and what customers are expecting. It's expected that technology exists in the home. In fact, there was Better Homes and Gardens just recently did a survey, and what they did is they wanted to look at what the next generation of home buyers are looking for. And so they went out and surveyed a group of people between 18 and 34. So they're going to talk about, you know, first home purchase folks that are going to be entering that new home purchase in the next couple of years. And 84% of them believe that technology was mandatory. Not yeah, it would be nice to have.
Mandatory
in their home. And, you know, the leading ones there were security and HVAC automation that were part of that. You know, it's something that has been expanded. In fact, we just recently signed an agreement and partnership with Toll Brothers, who's a large builder around the United States. And what they are doing is they're offering to their home buyers automation as an option. So as you're going into their showroom and you're picking out carpeting and blinds and tile, automation is now one of those categories that they're able to then select from and frankly build into their mortgage cost. And so it's kind of cool that we're starting to see this not only acceptance but mandatory need for automation and technology in the home. So
yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, like where I work, there's a room, you know, with TVs hidden. It's like a little Leon speakers, bought them, Media Decor. And I always ask, you know, it's always 50-50 split. You know, do you have a TV in your bedroom? Because where the rack is and all that stuff, it's in a bedroom where there's a Murphy bed, it all pulls out and it's all hidden. And it's a fine split of, no, we don't, we strongly are against that. Or the other one was, of course, yeah, of course.
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what's so interesting? Like, I only ask the people just for my own personal information going on. Like, why? I'm like, okay, well, I'll turn it on. Like, holy crap, you know, that's so cool. And then the other one's like, oh, wow. Even the ones like, no, we never would. That when they see that, like, it hides up and they're like, oh, wow, it's artwork. That's, wow, okay. It kind of becomes a little more acceptable. And having said that, I'm lucky that my girlfriend is very, very okay with, like, my large towers that I have and my two-channel system and all that stuff. And I'm like, you're so rare. Like, everyone's like, that's not happening in my house.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's awesome. I think I lucked out there. But yeah, it become highly more acceptable, more demanding, according to that survey. That is news to me, but it just seems, I mean, if you think about, like, you know, everyone now, walking around, I mean, just go anywhere, look around the room, everyone's on their cell phones, right?
Yeah.
And that goes back to the Internet of Things, right? So, you know, that person, you know, not necessarily in this case, but could very well be, you know, viewing cameras on their smartphone, you know, back at their home, or turning, you know, checking lights, security cameras, things like that. But most likely it's just texting the person on the other side of the bar, how boring it is.
Yeah, we've given up personal communication.
Yeah, right. I'm like, I won't talk to you. I'm like, no, just text me. I'm sitting right next to you. Automation, just that, and where we're going, like, you know, we talked about the Jetsons and all these things were possible, we're doing for the most part today, and it's just becoming more, like you said, mandatory, which is, I think, is pretty cool. And then just to use that technology to better, and I'll say it again, saving you time, energy, and money. Use all these technologies that are put in the home, but make them work for you, so you have to do less things and you have more time to text that person on the other side of the house, or whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah, or whatever it may be. And it could be that it just brings you peace of mind at the end of the day.
Right.
I leave the house. Did I leave the lights on? Did I lock the door? Did I lower the garage door? And those are all things that, you know, with an automated system, you don't need to turn around, drive home. You pull up the app. You take, hopefully, pull over to the side of the road first. But
yeah, please.
You pull up the app and check the light where the lights left on, and not only just check to see if they're on, turn them off. You know, arm the security system, lock the door, look at your IP cameras, and you know, it's the peace of mind that you get, that homeowners get with understanding their home. So
that's a good point. I want to stop you right there, and we'll go right into security and your more zone of control for, if you will. As always. Thank you, my sponsors. They kind of keep the lights on over here. Ingram Micro. They are the distributor, or the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. Go over to ingrammicro.com. That's ingrammicro.com. ingrammicro.com. And for us resi guys, or even commercial, there's always going to be the need for speakers, racks, and all the interconnects for the most part, unless it's a lighting control solution, in which case that's just lighting, no big deal. Go over to atlassound.com and visit my friend, tell them I sent you. They might give you a high five, but they're probably not going to give you a discount, but you can always ask. Mention my name. Mention the show. Atlassound.com. Paul, your expertise over, or what you're in charge of, you are the Vice President of Security and Communication Products. So, I mean, we're talking about security cams, like triggering locks, things like that. I mean, like, I could think of a lot of cool things that you can do with automation in terms of security. Like, if everything's on sensors and, you know, pneumatic controls and things like that, I'm assuming Control 4 can trigger all that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and security is an interesting thing. If you remember Maslow's priority of needs, if you've ever seen that, this pyramid that shows what the basic human needs are. And the second thing from the bottom is safety and security. Safety and security is one of those things that speaks to all consumers across all social economic structure. Is because we need to feel safe about where we're at today. We need to feel safe about where we live. We need to have our families feel safe, and we need to have our possessions be saved as well, and to be protected. And so, security is one of those things that's really personal for people. It's something that really hits home, and we believe and have seen that automation is a great way to enhance a secure and safe environment for the home.
Let me ask you something here. It looks like you guys have a door station with a camera built in, a little doorbell communication, and a two-way audio setup. Is that something that Control 4 makes, or third parties with someone else?
Yeah, that's actually our product, and I manage that as part of my team too. It's a door station device. It goes out on the front door. It also can go at gates. We see them a lot at gates in larger homes, but
sure.
At a front door location, it has a doorbell button on it. You press it, and on the touch panels, dedicated touch panels within Control 4's world, inside the house, it pops up an image of who's at the front door. You can decide at that point what you're going to do. If it's your mother-in-law, maybe you just ignore the call. But
don't ever ignore it.
Yep. Somebody you want to let in, you can actually then have a dialogue with them. It's two-way communication over that device. You say, hey, you can talk to them. And then from there, we allowed the ability that if you had automated door locks, you could even unlock the door from there and let them in.
Let me stop you there. That's a great point. I want to get right back to that. But as far as the two-way communication, is that something that you can do via a mobile device to that door station or more of a hardwired touch panel or something?
Today, it's hardwired touch panels, but okay. Pay attention to us in the future and take a look. So, you know, that's one of the things that people would have certainly asked for, and one of the things that we knew needed to be there. So, you know, keep watching us here in the future and see what happens. But I don't think it's a stretch to imagine that would be possible in the future.
Sounds good. I'm going to need that yesterday, actually. Yeah. Get extra vegetables working on that driver.
Absolutely.
I love the door stations. I'm assuming it comes in multiple metal finishes for indoor, outdoor applications. It looks very similar to one I've used in the past, and unfortunately I can't remember their name, but it doesn't really matter. I like what it looks like. Are the cameras upgradable? Do you have options for that?
No, it's a single point camera. It's a very, very good camera. It has a wide angle on it.
Mm-hmm.
Has really good video quality. And can show, you know, who's in that front door really effectively. As you mentioned, it comes available. It's in three different finishes. We have satin black, satin nickel, and then a Venetian bronze finish that's available in.
Venetian bronze, very nice.
Yeah.
The camera itself, color or black and white, both?
Color. Yep.
Very cool. I also see that you work with Kwikset, Baldwin, and Yale. They're all very popular. Door locks?
Yes. And we control those locks. We manage those relationships with Inside Control 4. All three of those product lines are fantastic. We're using the Zigbee control on those devices, so mm-hmm. Zigbee radios. And we see those in a lot of homes. And not only on exterior doors. We're seeing them on wine cellars and on gun safes and on closets where I don't want people to get into. In fact, we've seen them in home theaters. Because it's become the man cave, and nobody else is allowed in the room unless they have the code, right? So it's some cool stuff from there. But the cool benefit for a consumer there is that, and here's kind of a safety and security feature as well, is that I don't have to give my key out to people in order for them to access the home.
Mm-hmm.
What you're able to do is each one of those manufacturers has an application that works in our system that allows the homeowner to set some pretty cool things. So if I've got a contractor is coming over the house. I trust him. I'm okay with him being here, but I don't want to give him a key. I don't trust him enough to give him a hard key. I don't want him going out and making copies or anything else. But what I do want to do is allow them to have access to the home between, you know, 3 and 5 next Wednesday.
Yeah.
They can set up a code that is for that person just for that period of time. And after that, before and after those time periods, it doesn't work at all. So it's pretty cool.
The homeowner can do that, or they need to have...
No, the homeowner can do that themselves through the application. And not only that, but also through the application, it's keeping track of the key numbers that are being entered into into those pads. So, you know, if I do have somebody that I want to check to see... Well, it could be even somebody that I trust. It's my son or my daughter. I actually want to see what time they actually did come home. And I can check and see where their code is. And so, you know, for parents with teenagers will hate automation because there is no way to get away with anything. So
right.
We can track down exactly when people come home and make sure that there's no way to skirt by that. So
I've done some of that stuff in the industrial portion. I live out here in wine country, and so wineries are a huge portion of the business out here. And same concept, but it wasn't a full-scale, you know, automation for the facility because we hadn't really gotten into that portion yet, although we are doing some of that stuff. Very much what you're talking about, where, you know, like I said, I didn't want to give them the key. Maybe they just get an access code, or they have company vehicles, and the vehicles have, you know, a chip that it's basically RFID, but it logs, you know, when timing that they get in the gate. You know, so that way, like, if they're billing, you know, 8 hours, I'm like, well, you're only there for an hour, you know, on Wednesday at, you know, 2 p.m. What are you talking about? And then you try to access, you know, this other room that you aren't allowed in because that's my personal wine stash or whatever, and all these things. So it's, you know, it's logging them around the areas and things like that on their personal card, whether it's RFID or however they're getting in different areas, but it's, you know, coded to that person. What you were doing, though, is giving them the homeowner access to program that stuff internally without having to hire the programmer once it's all been set up, and then, you know, saying, okay, I only want them at this time, and I don't even need a physical chip. I just give them an access code, and that's all they're gonna need.
Yeah, and that, the good part about that is that, you know, chips get lost, and you never know if somebody made a copy of your keys get lost, and you don't know if somebody made a copy of the key, and suddenly you find that you were, you know, a victim of theft, and what you want to do is now restrict, even tighter restrict the access, and the only option you're left with is bringing a locksmith in and rekeying. Well, you don't need to do that in this case. You just change the codes, and you're as secure as you could be, possibly be. So.
Okay. So do you guys have a full line of like your own cameras and all that in terms of security?
So we work with third party manufacturers, and we make sure that we integrate them very, very smoothly and easily into the system. In fact, we just had a release of software that is our current release, which is version 2.5.3. It's been out for a couple months. And it's one of the big purposes of that release was to extend our camera capability. And so what we did is really made it easier for drivers to be created for cameras, and we also then expanded our offering. At the time where we, before we released this, we really had like six drivers for cameras that were in our database that we had. And on day one when we released, we had over 2,000 camera models that we supported from day one. And so we work with a lot of the names that dealers listening to this show would be familiar with. You know, certainly with Leland and with Snap AV. And with Planet and of course Panasonic and Axis cameras, and so we have all the big names that you would expect, QNAP, that we communicate with, along with NVR's DVR capability as well.
Very nice. Let's see. We talked about security and your cams and recording and Axis, which is super cool. You guys are doing a lot of really awesome stuff. And let's talk about, speaking of awesome stuff, can you touch on any of some of the coolest applications? I mean, aside from like we just mentioned, you know, like $40,000 homes and things like that. And at the end of the show, you can give me all their names, addresses, and locations and access codes. That'll be great. But like some unique applications. You know, every once in a while, you know, okay, I want to control the pool system, you know, the Jandy system or whatever, or I want to do this, or you know, right now I'm working on someone's personal wine cave on their property, and we're going to have like wine racks that open up, and the actual man cave is in the wine cave just for fun, just to say we could do it, where we're doing RFID chips and all that stuff. But, you know, you guys have your own, which makes it even cooler. I don't have to, like, do third party and write my own drivers and all that, and it's all ready to go, and they can give them their own access codes. Can you talk about some cool applications that, I mean, aside from, like, you know, Mega Monster, or if you want to, you know, applications where you've done it, just like not your typical run-of-the-mill, I want to control my TV, automation.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'll start with a strange one, and then I'll go to some cool ones. So probably the strangest application we've seen in recent years is the automation of a chicken coop. And we had a family, a customer that was, they raise their own chickens in their backyard, so they have fresh eggs every day, and I guess part of that, and I'm not a chicken farmer, but I guess part of that is making sure the chickens are locked in every day, and that you know, so the predators can't get them, and that they know that they're let out at certain times. And so they had set up, the dealer worked with them and set up this system by which the doors on the chicken coop were unlocked at a certain time, and they were unlocked at a certain time, and then also had a camera feed on the chicken coop, so the homeowner could check in and see how the chickens are doing. So that's kind of the strangest application we've seen in recent times. There certainly have been those. Some of the cooler applications we see. In fact, it was one of the award-winning homes. We do some of the big shows we do. In addition to Cedia, which is probably the show that most of your listeners and the listeners of this show be familiar with, Cedia Expos are probably one of our largest ones. But a growing show for us has been the International Systems Europe, Integrated Systems Europe, sorry. And that is a ISE, and it happens in Amsterdam every February. And one of our winners at our dealer event was this cool project in London. And what they had done is they'd taken an 18th century home. The owner had bought it, and it would have been separated into four different flats, and they took it and made it one big house. And then what they did in the basement, it took them 2 years to do this. They excavated, it didn't have a basement. These homes don't typically have basements. They excavated a basement underneath this house. And what they did is they put this, and it's a combination party room and combination pool. And it's kind of cool. What happens is the floor is solid, and it would be like a ballroom. People can come in, and you could have a party, and they could dance on the floor. But with the touch of a button from Control 4, the floor starts fading, starts dropping down, revealing the swimming pool. The water comes through from underneath, and it turns into a swimming pool. So this basement is a combination swimming pool, ballroom, party area. It's kind of, it's really cool.
Is this like a fairly, within the last year, new application?
Yeah.
I swear, I just, someone was talking and got all excited. We were talking about automation, just because that's, I nerd out on things like that. And he's like, oh my god, you know, this application, the floor opens up in a pool, and like, this, I just heard about this seriously, like, within this last week.
Yeah, just, it was within this last, within the last probably 9 months we saw that finished out in London. And it's a really cool application for how automation can work in a home. And, you know, it's certainly not something I'm planning to do in my own home, but it's something that's really cool. We see a lot of different applications like that because, you know, if it has a relay on it, if it has a contact sensor, it's controllable.
Right.
I mean, we can make it lower, we can make it raise, we can lift it up, set it down. There's a lot of things that we can do with automation to do those kind of things. And so, you know, we see a lot of those cool applications. That's one of the other great things about Control 4 is its real flexibility to personalize that solution to fit the homeowner's needs. And it's a good point about, you know, what we've seen in the market and is these, we're starting to see over the last couple of years, service providers getting into what they're calling automation. And you've seen the ads. They got the guy sitting on the porch and his kids pull up to their vacation home and he asks them if they left anything on and they say no. And then he looks in and, you know, the faucet's on and the doors are unlocked and the lights are on and he turns them all off. And it's a great commercial, and quite honestly, it's driving awareness to home automation for the masses, and we love it because every dollar they're spending, we're getting a portion of that. Because
nice.
What it's done is that when people really dig in to figure out what do I get with that system, what you find is it's not as inexpensive as you would think. Two, it's pretty canned. There's not a lot of real personalization that's going on that system, and it's what we would consider control rather than automation. And there is a distinct difference between those things. And what we can offer is a fully automated solution. Things happen without having to have human interaction. And what you get with our system is this real personalization. In fact, you know, we're in 170,000 homes across the world today. You would be hard-pressed to find two that are alike in the same way that they're set up, the programming, the capabilities in the home, and they're all unique. And that's one of the cool things that our dealers have the availability to do is really sit down with the homeowner and understand what it is they want to do and enhance their lifestyle, advance their and really enhance the way they live in their home or use the technology in their home. And it really becomes their system. It's personalized to them. And that's a cool thing we're able to do.
No, it's very cool. In terms of you mentioned a good point, like control versus automation, which, yes, they can go and coincide with each other, but are two very different topics. I'm looking at like sensors I think of sensors, right? Because, you know, there's flow sensors, heat sensors, all these things are basically triggers that can trigger events in terms of control and or sequences that would be automation. And that's the humanless interaction that you're talking about that can just be home automation or automation in general, because it doesn't need to be home specifically.
Yep.
But automation. Does Control 4 have sensors? I mean, I see that you can do like HVAC, so I'm assuming there's some sort of sensor we can put in the wall that tells me how hot or cold it is in per room, and, you know, if so hot, you know, maybe close the shades or turn AC.
Yep, certainly we have those devices. We offer card access products. In fact, we announced yesterday, it was a press release that came out yesterday. We purchased card accesses. Card access was a partner of ours. We've been selling their products for a long time. They have a line of sensors, contact sensors, relays, water sensors, garage door sensors.
Nice.
We purchased those products and their IP, and they're now part of Control 4 as of yesterday. We have all of that capability, and there's some really cool applications you can do with that. You know, let's take the water sensing, for example, and really talk about automation there. Certainly, it'd be cool if I know that I've got a leak in my house, but if I'm across the country,
right,
it does me almost absolutely no good to know that I've got a leak in my house. All it's really sourced to do is now upset me, and I've got to figure out if I can get somebody to run over to my house and break the door in to figure out what's leaking. But what we can do with automation is some really cool things. We could sense that there's a leak, and maybe it's an area of my house that's prone to leaking, and that's why I was concerned, so I put a leak sensor in there. And with a automated shutoff valve on the main water coming into the house, when we sense that leak, we can shut the main water valve off. So at least I'm going to limit the amount of damage that exists, rather than, you know, now coming home to find out that the floorboards are completely gone because the house has been flooded for the last week, right? So there's some things that we can do that are automated, but at the same time, we're also going to notify the homeowner that it has leaked and we have turned off the water. So now I can breathe easy. I know that's been taken care of, and now I can try to figure out what I need to do from this point. Maybe I'm okay not worrying about it until I get home now. So
that's what I was going to ask about, like email alerts. You know, something's happening. Like I said, there's some sort of moisture or something in the living room. Can that be a trigger to like an email back to the homeowner? Like you said, if they're across the country, all that's going to do is tell them. But maybe at the same time, let's just say it's like a rain sensor, and then you have a skylight and the sun, you know, it's shining when you leave, and when you get to your business, it's, you know, our community or wherever, it's raining. And you left the skylight open, it triggers, it senses rain or moisture, skylight close, send an email
saying, absolutely,
hey, it has saved you a lot of money.
Absolutely. And we can do all that. In fact, we can send an email or SMS text based on any event that occurs in the home, on a button press, on water sensing, on the heat in the home is, or the temperature in the home has either gone above some temperature or below some temperature. And that's really, you know, really helpful for people who are, you know, maybe even have a second home, and I'm worried about the pipes freezing, or worried about it in warm climes, worrying about the heat actually damaging the home as well. And so those are the things that any event, and that's one of the great things that we're able to do with Control 4 as well, is that any event that occurs in the home, and for anything, we can send out an email alert or SMS text to the homeowner or group of people to let them know that something has occurred.
That's awesome. Even a group of people?
Yeah. So we can send out email messages to multiple people and let them know. So if I've got, you know, I want to not only let myself know, I want to let my wife know, or maybe I want to even let my next door neighbor know we're on good terms and they're going to help watch the home while I'm away. I can send that email to them, and then I'm backed up, right? I've got somebody that can help me out. And with my door lock, I could have given him a temporary code that was only good for the week that I was gone, and, you know, he's there.
Right. That's like one of the coolest things to me. I think, you know, if you go a few years back, that's not something you typically would have heard about for a residential application, unless it's a larger scale home.
Yep.
You know, that's more of maybe a commercial application or industrial even, or something like that. Where there's different parts of the facility that, you know, you don't allow access to. But now, like you're saying, you're building homes. Maybe it's a second home, you know, and they're building it. Okay, yeah, you can work, but only on the weekend or this day, from this time to this time. And after that, you know, I don't want anybody there at all. But I also want to be able to monitor who's there. So each person maybe gets their own unique code. There's time stamping, maybe alerts, and, you know.
And I can get an email even when they enter their code. So I want to know. I've got I have a person that's coming in to take care of my plants. And they're supposed to be there. Kind of back to your winery experience. I want to know that they showed up.
Right.
They were supposed to come take care of the plants. And, you know, if I don't get an email or a text, I have a pretty safe bet that they didn't show up. But when they do, I can get a text or email and let me know, hey, look, they did show up and they were on time.
Or so, you get an email saying, hey, Johnny's in the theater playing video games right now, working and watering the plants.
You could certainly do that and let you know if devices turned on in the home that you didn't want to have turned on. So
exactly. I'm just going to say I would never do that unless that was okay. We're hanging out playing video games together in the theater, which is fun, by the way, only with the approval of the owner of the building.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Does Control 4 offer audio, their own audio? I mean, speakers and such, or is that not something you've gotten into yet?
Yeah, so we don't sell speakers. Once again, we work with third party companies. We actually have an online store that we help support our dealers.
Oh.
And one of the goals was to be able to provide better one stop shopping, so that as a dealer's putting together a project and they're speccing out speakers and projectors and screens and televisions and whatever it may be, and receivers, that they don't have to like go create you know, six different POs, six different invoices. Sure. And so we created an online store experience where we worked with our partners, and we have a lot of third-party partners that are now participating in that program, where they get one-stop shopping. It's available 24/7, 365 days a year. A dealer can go on our site and order things like speakers from companies like True Audio is one of our partners that, that has their speaker line out there. And to be able to order that along with the rack, to order the projector, be able to order, you know, wires and other things that they may need for the for that installation. So we've tried to accommodate and make it easier for our dealers. They get one invoice that way. They don't have to be thinking about it. They can just get it all done in one stop. So pretty cool.
Gotcha. And a few years back, early on in the years when you guys opened up and I came to visit you guys at Cedia. And by the way, if you guys don't know what Cedia is, you're probably should at least Google them. Go to Cedia.org, I think it is. They are Custom Electronic Design Installation Association. You should at least be visiting that when they come around. When I came to your guys' booth, it was still kind of early on. You had like a general GUI for your systems, and then a few years back, we're actually several now. You allowed your dealer base to create your own custom GUIs and such. Correct?
We. And I'll say light customization. What we allow them to do, and this comes into play a lot in commercial, is that the business, place of business, wants that on-screen interface to look like it's their presence. Right. And so there's some mild customization that we do that we allow for that. Mm-hmm. So they can change backgrounds and some of the icons and the wording to kind of match to the place that it's being installed. But as far as the general navigation of the way that it's laid out, where icons are located. I mean, you can change the location of specific devices, but our general theming is pretty much the same and not really customizable. And that was really on purpose, quite honestly.
Right.
We did some research on, you know, what others were doing. We looked at some of the other automation systems that were out there that have completely customized capability when it comes to touch panels, and we saw some cool ones. We saw houses where they had a touch panel, and it was a Harley Davidson, and the left wheel was volume up, volume down, and the right wheel was channel up and channel down. Really, really cool for that person.
Sure.
That took a lot of programming to get that to happen.
I'm sure it did, yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's hard for the dealer to recoup that cost of what it takes them to get that done for that one feature. Mm-hmm. And what we found most of the time, it was interesting enough, even though these companies were offering this full palette of availability to create their own interface, it was interesting if you'd spend time with a specific dealer, you'd find that what they had done is they'd created the wheel once, and then they just repurpose it again when they go to the next house and the next house and the next house and next house with some slight tweaks to it usually, but sure. They look really close to the same. It's not every single home they're going to, they're not developing a completely unique ID. And that really kicked something with us. It was one of the things where we said, what we've got to be able to do is we've got to be able to pull this together in a way that it makes it easy for the dealer to install. And what we did is we made it so that based on how the system, what products exist in the system and what's installed in the project, it automatically generates the user interface. So the dealer doesn't have to do any custom UI design. They don't have to hire expensive artists to be able to put these screens together. It's automatically generated based on how the system's configured. So it's really pretty simple.
Yeah, I think another good portion to that, by not letting them go too wild and crazy with that kind of stuff, is once you, like you said, you saw all these really cool ideas, and you said, you know what, let's take kind of the best concept and just centralize what the best and most common sense control layout should kind of be, and by doing so, that kind of allows you to just kind of use the same concept over and over and not make it too confusing and frustrating. What I hear a lot of is, I spent all this money on a home automation system or whatever it is, and I kind of don't use it as much as I used to, or now very little or not at all, because it's just so confusing and hard to use. And automation should be the exact opposite of that. It should be very easy to use. It should influence your life very comforting. It should just be like an extension of like what just you living life, and it shouldn't be confusing. It's actually meant to enhance technology and make it just kind of, you know, you go about your business and do your thing and not be frustrating. It's meant to, you know, integrate. And like we talked in terms of automation, do, you know, one button press is meant to trigger multiple things. So you don't have to be like, okay, well, I need to go here. I need to turn this on. I need to do this. I need to turn that one on. When I go to a friend's home, I've said this before several times, it bothers me that I have, you know, a minimum of like three remotes, which isn't a whole lot, but just to turn the TV on and watch something. Like, oh, this one turns the TV on, this one turns the box, but that one only does volume, and this one is something else. I'm like, what? That's just, no, that's too much.
Takes less button pushes to launch a thermonuclear war than to watch a movie in most houses.
Yeah, and just it's just like that one button, you know, all you, the person who is using the system needs to know is like, okay, I want to watch TV. One button that could, you know, shades can close, lights can dim, you know, the projector turns on, you know, your favorite source or whatever it is, turn, all these things happen, and all you need to know is that I just want to go do this one thing, and all this other stuff happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, agreed. Couldn't agree with you more. And people want that simplicity, and we did a lot of research to come up with the existing user interface that we have today, and we've continued to refine that over time, obviously, as well. But
and I look forward to more control for refinement and basically just bringing that awareness that the high demand of people out there who want technology in their home is basically, like I said, that's just driving more automation in terms of like, yeah, that should just be a standard thing. Like when you go buy a home, that should just be a minimal option that you can, okay, just in this example, control four is in your home. And yeah, I only have a few things, but I'm not locked out of, you know, doing all these other cool, extravagant things or conveniences / luxury because the processor already allows me to expand into the other things. I don't have to like upgrade or all these other things or rip out the old system and put this in. It's kind of just ready to do what you want to do in terms of, or at least capable of, you know, assuming that you're wired up properly and things like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what we see. And, you know, the day is arriving here. It's in the now where people want this technology. And, you know, seeing it in more and more homes on a daily basis, something that we've seen certainly happen, and it continues to increase year over year. So,
well, that was a very, very good conversation in terms of control, home automation, control for the demand for technology, and where I think we are all headed not too far from today. What I would like to do, Paul, I would like to invite you back on the show in the future, maybe around Cedia time or absolutely after.
On the show.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, in that short amount of time, I mean, I can see a lot of things changing. You know, Google keeps buying all these little sub companies and stuff, and you know, is that going to influence, you know, manufacturers like yourself of automation, or are you just going to integrate into those systems with Dropcam or Nest or, you know, all these things, and is it just going to make things more affordable again, more accessible, and more in demand? I don't know. I think that's a good topic to touch on in a few months.
Yeah, I'd love to.
If you guys want to reach out to Paul, is there a way they can reach you other than your Twitter or if they want to talk to you?
Absolutely. So certainly can reach me at my email address is pwilliams@control4.com. Always happy to talk to dealers or anybody else that would like to talk. And if you want to learn more about Control 4, just come see us at control4.com. Control 4 at the number 4.
As you mentioned, the control4.com. They're on the Twitter. It's at control the number 4. They have a Facebook page. You go to facebook.com/ control 4 fans, I believe it is.
That's correct.
The number 4 and then fans. If you want to give Paul a highlight on Twitter, tweet him if you will. It's at netracer280. NETRACER 280. Long pause there on my end. I was trying to do the numbers and letters thing. Long day, not enough coffee. If you want to yell at me on Twitter, assuming they still exist tomorrow, it's at jmota3, at jmota, the number 3. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc., etc. It's mainly at jmota3 or Johnny Mota. You can Google me. I've said some things. I have a show. We talk about automation, technology. If you didn't like anything I said, go ahead and email me. It's Johnny, J-O-H, NNYMOTA, the number 3, at gmail.com. That's my personal email, so go ahead and send me some hate mail, send me some good mail. Give me some suggestions. Let's talk about technology, automation. Let's start demanding more. Let's start demanding more and getting it widely acceptable. Everyone, this has been AV Insider. Thank you for listening, and we will see you in a few short weeks.